If you talk to those that are at work, if you ask anybody that's not a Christ follower, would you like true peace, happiness, and true joy in your life? Every single one of them would say, yes, absolutely, I would love that. Because behind closed doors, we know there's a lot of people out there that are struggling, that are having difficulty. And we know as Christ followers, we have true peace and true joy in our lives. And that only comes from God. Here's the first key to consistently living out our faith, to consistently living God. I will remain in communication with God, even when we don't know how things will turn out. For those of you that don't know, I keep a prayer journal. And every time you give me a prayer request, every time there's a prayer request at church, within our campus ministry, every time somebody says, hey, pray for this, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, whomever, I have been in the habit, at least the last 3 years, of jotting those down and praying over those. Now, how many of those prayer requests turn out exactly the way I prayed for that to turn out? Not a lot. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But I know that God worked through every single one of those requests. And even when they don't turn out the way I expect, God blesses that request every time with true peace and true joy and true happiness in my life. But we have to remain faithful in prayer. It says in every situation. Not some situations, not 50% of the situations, not most situations, but in every situation, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Here's the guarantee, whether that situation is good or bad, God's peace will protect us, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. Look at Jesus' example from his own prayer life. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Look at a passage like John 17. Jesus prays on his way to the cross. Did Jesus want to die? No. Did Jesus know he had to die for our sins? Yes. And he was under the Father's reverent submission to him. He was under the Father's guidance. And then he also goes on in John chapter 17 to pray for his disciples, even when they didn't understand why Jesus was heading to the cross. Or maybe they didn't even understand why, or that very fact that he was going to the cross. And then Jesus goes on in John chapter 17 to pray for all believers. You and I today, included in that prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. So that'll be part of your homework assignment. Read John chapter 17 and look at the beautiful prayer of Jesus in his communication with God. There's hundreds of examples throughout the Old Testament. I picked out one here. The powerful Assyrian king Sennacherib had laid siege to Jerusalem. King Hezekiah, he tells the people to keep their faith in God. But what does a strong, God-fearing leader do? He not only tells them to keep the faith, he prays a prayer like this. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And what happens? That night, the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers which compelled the rest of the army to return home without a fight. If God is for us, who can be against us? God will fight for you, but he wants us to take all of our requests to him. He wages war on our behalf. And as Mark says so oftentimes, here's the good news. In the end, we win. When we're in daily communication with God, it's easier to remain dead to ourselves and alive in Christ. We get to choose whether or not to die to ourselves each and every day. And what I mean by that is dying to our anxieties, dying to our worries, dying to the things that would hold us back in life, dying to those fears, and realizing that God, through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit that he's given us as believers in him, that he can accomplish all things through us. But he wants us to die to ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow him. What's the first thing you grab for in the morning? First thing I grab for is my alarm. And sometimes I hit snooze and get that extra 7 minutes, and sometimes I don't. But what do you grab for after that alarm? I've gotten more and more in the habit, of course, I read God's word daily, but I've gotten more in the habit of picking that up as the first thing in the morning and having God communicate to me. And when I do that, that sets the tone for a much more beautiful day, or I'm patient in crazy traffic, dropping off my kids at school, where I'm much more likely to communicate God's love to others because I let him communicate to me first thing in the morning. I was at a high school, or passing by a high school bus stop in our neighborhood, and I noticed this was 8-something in the morning, and all the students, there was about 12 of them, they were all looking down at their cell phones. Not a single one looking at each other or talking to one another. They were all looking down at their phones. Connected, but not really connected. And I know some of these kids know each other because I've lived in that neighborhood for 20 years now. And I know some of them are friends with one another, but not a single one was communicating with each other. And I say that to say there are so many things that compete for our time, for our energy. And if we grab for the wrong things, we can listen to distracting voices, we can get caught up in social media or whatever it is on our devices, instead of communicating with God and communicating God to those right around us. When we die to ourselves, as Jesus describes, three things happen. It develops a godly perspective in our life. It trains us to depend on God's Holy Spirit, and it teaches us godly waiting. Check out this verse from John chapter 12. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Taking up our cross daily, dying to ourselves, our own selfish desires, and making sure that we're putting God first in our daily lives. We could have scripture on our TV. That's another way of, I feel like, keeping God's communication in front of us. And we're more likely to watch the right things if we have a screensaver like this. That my brother has on his TV. This is actually not my brother's living room. My brother's living room is a lot messier than this. This is a stock photo. But the point is that we have opportunities to put God's word in front of us all the time. I noticed one of our members coming by the church this past week, and on their iPad, they had Philippians 4:4-7 written on a post-it note and put right on their iPad. And I'll tell you, when you have something like Philippians 4:4-7, which was read to us by Deacon just a moment ago, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things, it's a whole lot easier to go to that questionable show or series on Netflix. Or to take in something that has sexual innuendos, or to take in something that has cursing, or whatever it is that goes against God's word when we have Scripture constantly in front of us. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us, each one of us, alive in Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and we need to take that grace and to honor God with our daily lives because of that grace, because of that rich mercy, because of everything that God's done for us. We get to give it back to God, keep in communication with him, and then give it away to others. Next, that leads to the second point, I will remain in community. It can feel like a normal response to want to withdraw and want to retract when things get really difficult. And what does God want from his people? Quite the opposite response. God wants from us to be part of a strong Christian community, like we have here at University City Church of Christ, to be part of an active community that points one another towards Jesus. The church in Philippi, if you look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, they were commended for that community. Whether we're talking about individual brothers and sisters that come together for studying God's word or for exhorting in the community, or whether you're talking about the church as a whole, you see throughout the book of Philippians, the church commended by Paul for all the great things that they were doing together as a church body for staying and remaining in community. I want to read Mark chapter 2 to you guys, and for many, this is a very familiar passage, but I want you to think of it from a different standpoint than the great miracle that Jesus performs here. I want you to think about it from the standpoint of community, and I'll explain more in just a moment. Starting in verse 2, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want you to think about the paralyzed man for a moment. I want you to think about his situation. He had a terrible health situation, no physician to heal him, no money, more than likely, no career. It seems like no family to care after this man, and seemingly no future. So what does this man have going for him? He has community. He has four men that are willing to go to great lengths to get him to the Messiah, to get him to Jesus, not just point him in the right direction, knowing he's probably not going to get there on his own, but they take him to Jesus. What does your community look like? Do you have others in your community that go to great lengths to take you to Jesus, to show you his love and his compassion and his healing power and his strength and everything that he offers to us in life? I know we have that community here. Let's continue to be that community and remain in the community and grow the community to give other people the opportunity to find Jesus like we found him. Here's a great story of people pointing somebody in the right direction. Sep Shirey, high school football player, has cerebral palsy. He decided he loved football so much he begged his dad to go out for the football team. Now, Sep, mind you, is on crutches. The dad thought he was crazy. The coach thought he was crazy. But they went ahead and let him go out for the varsity team, knowing full well he couldn't really practice, he couldn't really play, but all he could do is dress out and stand on the sideline on crutches. And he was a great encouragement to his teammates on their high school team there in Virginia. Well, like all feel-good stories, Sepp was given the opportunity to get in for a play. Towards the end of his senior year, in a game that was already decided, the outcome was already in hand, they put him there at the 20-yard line with time running out, said, Sepp, we'll give you the opportunity to run one play, with the hopes of getting just a few steps, which he was able to take a few steps without his crutches, but only a few steps. Well, he went into the game, and he was handed the ball. He hung onto the ball, and it looks like he has a pretty good stride in here. But if you watch the video of Sepp, it's a long, awkward, looks like he's going to fall down multiple times. But he not only takes a few steps, he makes it 80 yards all the way to the end zone. And it's because not only were his high school teammates pointing him in the right direction, the defense, which was told to go ahead and, you know, hit him, they're like, no, we're not hitting Sepp. And Sepp's like, no, go ahead and hit me. But all they wanted to do for this young man, because they knew him from the community, was to also point him in the right direction. And Sepp, with all that encouragement, blowing the doctor's mind, who was also in the stands, ran the distance. What can we do with great community pointing us in the right direction? What can we accomplish as Christ followers when we point others in the right direction towards Jesus? Where do you find community that will last? We find it right here. We find it in our Bible classes. We find it in our worship, in the fellowship before and after worship, in our fellowship meals, which we had a great one this past Wednesday, within our service project opportunities, within our church family, within our small groups that will be starting up in another month or two on Sunday evenings. So many opportunities for fellowship. I remember I was very excited. I told Julie, I said, when I turn 49, I'm joining the 49ers. And Julie said, well, can you do that? I'm like, yes, look, it says it right here, 49, over 49, I'm getting there. And so sadly, the group didn't call themselves the 49ers anymore by the time I got there, and they were having all these fish fries, and I was greatly disappointed. But I have had the opportunity the last 4 years to join them for the senior breakfast every first Monday of the month. And I am so excited to be there, and I'm 53 years old, and in 2 years, I get the over 55 discount. I am super excited about that. But I found community there, and I'm so excited that our campus ministry students want more. One of the things they asked for coming into the school year is we want more opportunity to do cross-generational things with the community here at University City. And they are excited about those opportunities. We are going to make sure they know of every opportunity we have here at University City to not just do things in service projects in our own groups, but to do things cross-generationally so that our older and our younger members can do things together and accomplish God's mission together as community. Amen, church? All right. Thirdly, I will remain ready to share my story. Whatever you have learned from me, received from me, seen in me, Paul says, put it into practice. Wow, we get to practice what Paul is preaching. We get to do that, and we get to do that by sharing our story. One of the easiest ways to share your faith with somebody is to share the life-giving change in your life because you have Jesus. When you have Christ in your life, you have an exciting story to share with others. And when somebody's going through a hard time, a difficult time, we get to be there for them. When somebody is going through a joyful time, we get to celebrate with them as brothers and sisters in Christ. There are things we should share. There are a lot of things we should share. And sometimes there's things we shouldn't share, meaning there are times when somebody's going through such a difficult time, we don't know what to say or share. But here's the important thing, our physical presence. To be there in community and to share the life-giving change of Christ in our life by physically being present there for others when they need us. Two scriptures I want to share with you as we get ready to close. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also, the words of Jesus, will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. You want to be acknowledged by Christ before God, before his throne? Then acknowledge him before men, before women, before others. And then we read in Mark chapter 5, as we so read so many times, that when Jesus changes a life, when somebody comes to him, they have the opportunity to go and tell others, and oftentimes they do, like the woman at the well, like the demon-possessed man that was healed in Mark chapter 5. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. I want to share with you one last story, and that is that of Hector Cortez. This is going back in time 20 years, but we first met Hector at the Baxter Institute in Honduras in 2002. He was a young man, but he led a devotional that evening, that first evening there at the Baxter. You could tell that he had a fire and a passion for sharing God's word with others. And then the next year we went back in 2003, and a young American missionary was there at the same time with us, Rachel, and we saw Hector and Rachel kind of hit it off, or at least spent a lot of time in Bible study together. And they ended up getting married a year after that, and now they have 5 children. And we followed Hector, not just from Honduras, but also our campus ministry, with the help of Mike Childs that's here this morning. We also went to Costa Rica as he planted a church there and followed him there. We went to El Salvador with him to help with another church plant there. And most recently, right before COVID in 2020, we had the opportunity to go to Knoxville, Tennessee, and work with Hector there. He's constantly planting churches and sharing the story of how God changed his life and has brought so many people to Christ. Now, why do I have a picture of Hector in bed up here? Because recently, for those of you that don't know, in the last month and a half, Hector's been diagnosed with cancer. Hector's going through a terrible time. They didn't know this up until he posted it on Facebook just a couple days ago. He had no idea why he was bedridden. But he is suffering, but he remains positive. And this is a picture of some of the members of the church that he had been going to and sharing the story of Christ to them. Now, after that worship service, they're coming to his bedside to share God's love with Hector. When we share the story of Christ with others, like a Hector Cortez and a Rachel Cortez, then we get people, brothers and sisters, that come to follow Christ and are so excited they go share the story, and then in turn, they share it to people who share, and so on and so forth. We have the opportunity in our lives to share the story, to build community, and to continually build that community of Christ, and to communicate with God each and every step of the way. If you haven't given your life to Christ this morning and would like to do so publicly for the first time and be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the church for any reason, this community is always here for you. You have that opportunity now as we stand and as we praise God with our all.